Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Jacksonville, Ilia Topuria versus Josh Emmett. We're going to be breaking down three plays here like we always do. And let me tell you something. We are coming off another profitable evening. Last week, over 3 units of profit. That's now cashing 4 of the last 5 UFC events. Over 23 units of profit just over the last 5 weeks. Feeling really good about it. Also, for those of you who do follow me on Twitter at KyleAnthonyUFC, each card, I always throw up a little hero parlay if you're, you know, if you want to check those out. And last week, we hit one. Over plus 2,000 in the odds for this hero parlay. Cashed it in. Jared Cannonier closed the show out via decision. Nice win overall. So listen, if you weren't a client, you made money. If you are a client, you made money. So it's been a good run for us overall. If you want to become a client, link down in the description. And I think that's it. Let's just get right into the plays. Let's start talking Ilia Topuria versus Josh Emmett. So this one here, I think is an interesting fight here. Now you got Ilia Topuria. He's minus 330. Excuse me. On the comeback here, you've got Josh Emmett plus 250. Plus 255. Excuse me there. And you're looking at this situation. You've got Ilia Topuria, undefeated fighter, well-rounded, has power, finishing ability, all the things that you want to see, 13-0. I mean, boy, things are really looking good for him. On the other side here, you got Josh Emmett, big power overall. The guy is good boxer, good striking, good wrestling, although he doesn't really use it, but some good wrestling as well, too. But I think the one thing here when you're looking at Josh Emmett over the last few fights, really over his career, is he really relies on that power. He goes out there and he wants to be throwing these big overhand shots. Boy, it has worked out for him. He has sparked out and had some fantastic knockout finishes. He has that power, but kind of over the last few fights, it hasn't looked as much. Yes, he's got some victories there, but it just the power or really relying on that power has not really been showing up as much. And we look at it, he had very close fights to get him to that interim title fight against Yair Rodriguez. He had an arguably loss against Dan Ige and Calvin Kattar. These are guys who really don't present any grappling. They're mostly going to be looking to stand up. They're going to bang. They're going to throw. Maybe Dan Ige a little bit, but they're going to bang. They're going to throw. They're going to be firing forward. And that's the one thing that I think that, you know, is kind of a one-dimensional kind of side for Josh Emmett in this spot also. But if you really even go back to the most recent fight, I mean, he fought Yair Rodriguez, and that was not long ago. He went out there, took a beating. Yes, Josh Emmett was in it, but he took a lot of damage in the short period of time. Yair really was landing big shots on him, hurt him, ended up getting that finish in that second round. And now we're kind of looking at a spot where Josh Emmett is 38 years old. He fought about 4 months ago. This is an absolutely red flag, quick turnaround time for me overall. I mean, that's a guy that I just, that's too quick, especially for this age. It's just too quick overall. And then you add in the fact that, listen, people don't like hangovers, but fighters really do not like title fight hangovers, because that's another thing we got to add to this as well, too, is that Josh Emmett very hyped up for this interim title fight, going to, you know, looking to really have that opportunity to get that title. And now he's lost. Now he's fighting a guy who he's the underdog, a rising prospect. This could be a stepping stone for Ilia. It's not the greatest things when you're looking at that. And you got Topuria, who's 13-0, 5-0 in the UFC. 4 finishes, has looked absolutely fantastic overall. And I think some people are kind of looking at that Josh Herbert fight, which I believe was 2 fights ago, as maybe, oh, is, you know, does he have a chin, or can he take these shots, or whatever it is, because you've got Josh Emmett, who can throw the big power. Now, for me, it's you know, you have Herbert, who had this massive reach advantage. This was up a division for Topuria on top of all of that. But I like the fact that he came back. I mean, it wasn't a guy that got knocked out, ripped out, you know, in that first round, didn't come back, you know, completely was, you know, melted and had no fight in him. He got rocked and absolutely battled back. And not only did he battle back, but he brutally then turns around and knocks out Herbert in just absolutely brutal fashion. And that to me says a lot about just the heart, the toughness, all those things about Ilia Topuria that I think you need to know when you're talking about a guy who's really looking for that title fight. If he can get a really spectacular victory here, I think the UFC would really, really gladly like that. But if you're looking, you know, stylistically speaking, speaking and striking, you know, there's two things that I think that are really not great for Josh Emmett. And the one is really going to be the low volume. You know, the low volume for me is really not good. He does not set up these shots very well. You know, he's really just, you know, kind of 1-2 on the outside. And that's kind of it, you know, and then it's a big shot, a big hook, and then it's back, you know, working to the center of the cage. And then you add in the fact that that's pretty much all he throws is these big hooks. I mean, yes, again, they are massively powerful. They are like nuclear bombs coming at you. But it's just not, it's just, there's no setup to these. He's really kind of changed that. And it's, you know, he's not even getting shooting for takedowns and trying to mix it up a little bit. Those are the kind of things that I think really Topuria is going to pick apart. I think there's a point, and this fight is going to be 5 rounds. He's going to have time for it, where he's going to start picking up these 1-2 big hook combinations. Ilya is way more sharper. He's way more technical on the feet. I think that he's a little more smoother overall. And, you know, Emmett has boxing, but it's just, I don't think there's much else there at this particular point. All hooks, 100% power in everything that he throws. And that'll start to deteriorate him over the course of this fight, where Topuria is going to have that pace, going to have that output, going to have all those things that he needs to get the victory. And on the other side of it is the fact this should be a phone booth fight. I really believe that both of these guys are going to be going for it early, and that could be a little nerve-wracking for anyone backing Topuria if he's throwing these big shots and these big hooks, and maybe he wants you to kind of work at distance or work at range. But overall, I think the countering ability is going to be there for Topuria. I think that these big hooks are going to open up a landscape for if he wants to get a takedown, or at least change it up a little bit. Now, I don't really think that he's going to just be, you know, taking Emmett down. Emmett's a big, strong guy. He's, you know, has that wrestling background. I don't really think that there's going to be this dominating takedowns early. Maybe later on, and that's where he can start picking him apart, landing the big shots. And he's a finisher. You know, Topuria, 13 victories, 12 by finish, which is absolutely incredible. Now you add in the fact that, again, 38-year-old Emmett, and you also add the fact he's a featherweight. This is not a heavyweight division where these guys, you know, don't have to cut this massive weight. Multiple fighters talk about how difficult it is when you're, you know, nearing 40 in these smaller weight classes. It's hard to keep your body in that particular spot. Now you're talking about a guy who's coming off a knockout loss. Getting beat up, but he did get, you know, submitted, but took a lot of damage, has a lot of wars recently with some tough fighters. That's a lot to overcome overall. So I do like Topuria here. And I think getting off this big, you know, minus 330 number, I think it's going to be a phone booth fight. I think they're both going to oblige the striking. They're both going to oblige in the stand-up game. So I do like Ilya Topuria to get the knockout, whether it's going to be on the ground and pound, whether it's going to be stand-up. I think he's going to hurt him, and then he's going to finish him. And I like turning that minus 330 into a plus 150. Now, we're seeing the books, you know, plus 125 to plus 150, so make sure you're shopping that around. But I am seeing plus 150 out there, and that is the spot that I'm betting. I think it's a good spot. I think that the power advantage is not as wide for Josh. So I do like Ilya Topuria to get the KO victory plus 150. Now, then we're going to talk about here is going to be Tabitha Ritchie versus Jillian Robertson. Now you've got Ritchie minus 140. On the comeback here, you've got Robertson plus 115. Now, the one thing here with these two females is they're very similar. You know, they're definitely very similar when it comes to what they like to do. You know, they're both grapplers. They're both finishers. You know, they're striking. I kind of think is kind of, you know, the same, you know, the basic, you know, there's not too much else. They're both pretty basic when you're talking about their striking overall. But you know, Ritchie, you know, she's the kind of girl that, you know, when she's in trouble, she's going to go for the takedowns. She's going for that top control. She's going to try to smother you. She's going to utilize that wrestling. And to me, in this spot, it may be nullified. You know, you've got a girl in Jillian who is just, she's lethal when it comes to the ground game. And she will do whatever she has to do to get takedowns, because she does not want to stand and she does not want to fight on her feet. She wants the grappling. She'll pull guard. She'll do whatever she has to do. Now you've got someone in Ritchie who will look for these takedowns, who will bulldoze forward and is strong and will look for these takedowns. And now being in, and now that's, I think, an absolute path for Tabitha. But if you're looking at it, Jillian will absolutely oblige. Hold on, make sure my... All right. Jillian will absolutely oblige in the grappling. If she's going to be going down to the ground. Jillian will be happy with that. She will take it. And again, she will look to for the submission. She will look to latch on to something. She will look to just do something that she can at least get out of that particular situation and find an opportunity to get into a dominant situation overall. And then you're even adding in this fact that, yes, you know, Tabitha has that physicality. She's been able to do that. She's short, compact, but strong. Now you've got Jillian, who is moving from 125 pounds down to 115 pounds. This could actually kind of nullify maybe the physicality that Tabitha has. Maybe that Jillian's going to be a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit stronger. You've been looking at it. She's going to have a 4-inch height advantage. She's going to have a 1-inch reach advantage. I think that maybe, you know, Jillian was a little bit undersized for the 125 division. This may be a nice home for her overall. And I think she can dictate the pace of this fight. I don't think that, you know, there's much that Ricky can really do. If they stand, if they do whatever, this could be, you know, interesting, but I think they're going to grapple. They're going to go to the ground. That's just both where they both like to be. So I do expect a lot of that to be happening. And I got to give it to Jillian overall. You know, a lot of people look at, you know, Jillian's record. She's 12-7. And, you know, hey, you know, now you got a young prospect who's, well, they're both pretty much same age. And that's part of it too. You know, they're both around the same age. And you've got a girl who has a wealth of UFC experience overall. And like I said, 12-7 is her record. She's been in the UFC for 5 years, 28 years old. She was maybe 22, 23 when she came into the UFC and had to fight some of these tough, tough females overall. And then you've got somebody in Richie who came into the UFC, got knocked out in her in the second round, came back in the last three fights, and really had some, you know, some very, very favorable matchups overall. Females that, you know, are willing to just be taken down, that don't really offer up too much offense, that have a nice style for her to kind of bulldoze, control. And that kind of worked for her. So she ended up getting some victories against some females who I don't really feel are anything at all. And she was able to do that. And that's really good for her. But I do believe that Jillian is able to kind of push forward, have that pace, have that output also. She's someone who's going to push forward, who's going to really look to get your back up against the fence. So she's willing to just throw crazy strikes. And, you know, Tabitha is not someone who's going to just land a big shot and rock her. I don't expect that. I think Jillian's going to be fine moving forward, looking for takedowns, or again, getting you up against the fence and finding and latching onto something to get you down to the ground. I think that that's a great spot for her. She can positionally win, I think, also. So in this spot here, I do like Jillian Robertson, plus 115. Again, you're seeing this line moving. It's, you know, in some spots, it's plus 105. Shop it around. But I do like the plus money here. I think it's a good spot. I think she gets the job done. Props are not out yet, but I wouldn't mind maybe a sprinkle on Jillian via submission. But overall, right now, before I see any prop lines, I do like Jillian Robertson to get the job done, plus 115. And the last fight we're going to talk about here is going to be Neil Magny, minus 175 against Phil Rowe. I'm going to quickly go over this one here now. This one here is a strength of schedule kind of thing when you're looking at it. You know, a lot of people, I think that's a big thing. It absolutely is a big thing. But I like, and we just kind of talked about it. You know, Jillian Robertson, you know, she fought some tougher opponents. I think experience level is very important when you're talking about certain things. But when you're talking about really the trajectory of a fighter, that also starts to take things. You can't always go back and look at the strength of schedule if you feel a fighter is starting to tick down overall, because that's not the same fighter that will be fighting on Saturday night. So that's kind of part of it, because you see Neil Magny. I mean, boy, he has fought some tough opponents over his career. You know, Jeff Neal, Shavkat Rachmanov, D-Rod, Gilbert Burns, Robbie Lawler, just to name a few. He has definitely faced, you know, won some, lost some, but has you know, shown himself to be successful in those spots. And, you know, you got Philip Rowe, who's coming off, you know, knocking out guys like Jason Witt and Nico Price. Not the most exciting things to be talking about when you're looking at a fighter, but he did get those victories and he did it in impressive fashion. Now, the success for Neil Magny comes from the cardio and comes from really just, you know, cage pushing, keeping up against a fence, draining you, pinning you up against the fence, holding you there, dirty boxing, you know, maybe trying to get some takedowns. Even if you get up, because Neil can allow opponents to get up, he'll still be on you. He'll still work you. He'll still hold you there. And that over time is very difficult for certain opponents to kind of break free, get them off you. Now, the difference here that I feel is very, very important in this spot is the fact that this is the first time Neil Magny in the UFC is facing someone with the same physical stature, going to have the same height, this massive reach advantage that Neil Magny has had, 80-inch reach advantage. That's going to be Phillip Rowe too. Rowe is going to have the same exact reach as well. And that, to me, it takes a little something away from Neil Magny, because that's, I think, a lot of his equity in a lot of these fights has really been that reach, has really been just that output, the cardio. Now you start to talk about a guy who's going to have a similar stature, but you also latch in the fact that we're not going to be in the apex cage. And I think the apex really has done wonders for Neil Magny in certain spots where he's able to get these takedowns, able to not have to really cut too much distance to get his hands on you, to push you up against the fence. He's a cardio machine. He's going to keep going and not stop. So that, to me, could be, you know, it could be tough for him, but this is, again, it's going to be the normal size UFC cage. I think that it's going to help Phillip Rowe in this spot. And if you're talking about striking wise, I got to give it all to Phillip Rowe. And yes, you know, he can look sloppy in certain spots, but I like to, you know, his boxing better. I think his power is way better than Neil Magny. Neil Magny is more of like a death by accumulation guy who's going to keep throwing shots and maybe find, you know, latch on something or just kind of beat you up over three rounds and just completely outpace you. That could be, you know, what he's looking for. But Phillip Rowe, he has power. He has the ability to damage, cause shots. I also don't like, even in some wins, I thought Neil Magny kind of looked a little iffy. He kind of looked maybe unmotivated or I don't really know what it was, but he's looked lackluster. His striking defense, you know, he's very hittable. And I think that also opens up shots for Phillip Rowe to land big shots, push the pace, and keep going forward. And some people also talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, if Magny gets him down, you know, Phillip Rowe, you know, is he, you know, what can he do? Phillip Rowe is a black belt in BJJ. He has ability. You know, it's, you know, yes, again, he has looked, you know, there's certain spots he's looked a little sloppy, but again, he has ability. And I think he continues to fine tune some of these things. So even if fight gets to the ground, it's not like he's a fish out of water. I think he has ability to keep kind of going. And I think that'll help him as well too. So in this spot here, I think that Phillip Rowe is going to have the bigger moments, the power, landing the more damaging shots over these three rounds. And in the bigger cage, I think it's going to help him a lot, chipping away, finding the victory. So I do like Phillip Rowe to get the job done. Another dog here we're talking about, plus 145, I think is a nice spot here. Again, you're seeing the line move here. It's, you know, Phillip Rowe is anywhere from, you know, 145 to 130. See what you're, you know, see what kind of books you got out there. But this is still another nice plus number. So I'm thinking Phillip Rowe to get the job done. So there you have it for, what is this? UFC Jacksonville. That's the show. Excited to see how this all goes down. This week, I have a 5% max play plus money play up right now for clients. I have three plays up. Two of them actually right now are plus money. And I'm going to probably add another one, maybe two, to have four or five plays for this card. But the first three, I absolutely love. Link down in the description if you would want to become a client. And that's it. That's the show. We're going to move on. Let's cash some tickets this Saturday night. And again, no off seasons. We are going to be back next week and the next week and the next week. We are going to flame this summer and keep choking those bookies out. So that's it. That's the show. I'm Kyle Anthony. Let's cash.